may even hit the 70s at some point. So going from letting the faucets leak, you know, to 70, that is a big, large transition. But anyway, hey, it is Georgia weather. What can I say? But how did everybody enjoy Sunday night? Did y'all enjoy that? Everybody like that? If you don't know, we did record that Facebook Live. It is on our page, our church page, if you want to go back and look at that or share it yourself. But it was a great time. And Brother Alan Barrett, he such a blessing. And to see him, I couldn't see him the whole time, but I was told that he was kind of directing, sitting down there. Singing right along, and he was able to sing those lines, and God saves old sinners. And I had a card prepared to say a few things if they called on me, but if I could, just for a second, I'd like to share those things with you guys. So I first met Brother Allen, of course, back at Floyd Road when I got saved in 02 and started going. And so he was the first choir director. I mean, first time I ever sang in a choir, period, going from lost to found, so to speak. And so I remember him leading choir. It was under his choir leadership where I actually shouted for my first time. And I remember Scott Grantham was actually singing the song "He Is Mine" and Brother Allen leading. And so that was a memory I was going to share with him. But also, Brother Allen was kind of a counselor to me. There was a time where I needed somebody to talk to, being a young Christian working at the church as a janitor. And Brother Allen will be around there working and painting from time to time. And on one occasion, Brother Keith wasn't available. Brother Berman wasn't available. And so, but Brother Allen was there. And I said, "Hey, you got a second? I need to talk, you know, try to make some sense out of things." And so we went into a Sunday school room. He sat down and talked to me like a father, just like a, you know, an older, mature man in the faith. Of course he was. And so that was special. That was special to me. On a couple occasions he did that. But the third thing, it was five things I wanted to share. The third thing was he was a painter for us. He actually painted our house in Powder Springs. He built our porch. And on that same job, he was trying to pour a concrete slab there at our steps. And I remember he struggled and struggled. And finally, nightfall came. And I pulled up, and he was standing on the slab like this. And he completed the job. And of course, he's still alive. I have time to tell him personally. But it was just on the top side of my heart, so I wanted to share that tonight. But also, you know, his painter, friend, close friend, grew close together through the years. But the last thing when I think of Brother Allen is Dolly's Farmhouse on Austell Road. We would go there together and eat many times, and it was always a riot every time we did. And so, but anyway, those were just some things I wanted to share. It was a great night, and like I said, everybody enjoyed it. And so we're going to try to get something like that together, you know, ever so often, join churches with some in the community. I got some couple pastor friends that do that, I think, regularly. So it's something to look forward to. But anyway, I do want to take a few minutes to spend on our prayer request update part of the service tonight, probably a little bit longer than we normally do. Most of you heard, I'm sure every one of you have heard about Miss Barbara Anderson going home to be with the Lord. And so we sent out a call post the first one, and Brother Snyder gave me the green light on that, and I sent it out. And then it changed, and so I sent out the second one. And the reason for that is that evidently Wes Cobb couldn't get anybody. There was no availabilities on Friday at the graveside. And so that's why it had to change from what I hear. And so her arrangements, the funeral itself is going to be on Monday at Wes Cobb Funeral Home, as you know, at 2 o'clock there in the chapel. And the visitation will start actually on this Sunday at 5 p.m. and go to 7 p.m. at West Cobb. And then on Monday from 12 o'clock noon until funeral time at 2. And so just remember that. Of course, I don't know if many people here have actually known any of her family or not. I haven't met any of them, but don't know how that goes or how that went with her when she was still living as far as being in touch with family. But do remember the family during this time. I do want to ask you a question, though. No, of course, no disrespect to Miss Barbara Anderson's visitation on Sunday evening at all, but we do need to talk about something, that we're scheduled to have a chili fundraiser on Sunday night. And this is what I want to ask you, because I believe this is the majority, some of the majority that will be there Sunday night. Were you planning on going to her visitation Sunday evening from 5 to 7, or were you planning on going to the funeral on Monday, or maybe you have plans and you can't go to either? If we can keep the chili fundraiser on Sunday night, I would love to do that. Again, no disrespect at all or nothing, but we will have 5 weeks to work on the technology upgrading here at the church before Jubilee. And so I just want to hear from you. If everybody wants to go there, you know, we could have it and it'd be over at 6, the chili fundraiser. But at the same time, if everybody wants to go to the funeral home, that's not giving you a lot of time. So I just want to know, you know, we kind of put a lot into this. So who's planning on going on Monday, if you're able to go on Monday?
I think she would want us to go ahead with the fundraiser.
Okay. All right. You know, anytime there's something like this takes place, I think of 5 or 6 different angles, you know, and just trying to make the best decision. Oh, right. Yeah. That's what I feel. That's what Brother Ceylon has felt as well. So, all right. Well, then we'll keep that as stands, and that's good. So I appreciate that. And so we will announce that again on Sunday morning, that still stands for Sunday night. And, of course, we'll mention the her funeral arrangements as well again on Sunday morning. And I don't know how our sign-up sheet's looking for the chili cook-off or not, but I think it's looking pretty good. All right, well, that's good. Appreciate that. All right, please remember Brother Ceylon's brother, George Plemons. He's scheduled tomorrow for open heart surgery, 12 o'clock tentatively. And St. Joseph Hospital. And so remember him on that. Also remember Brother Don Rich. He went for results today. And make a long story short, basically he's following up. He's told to follow up with a neurologist because of some of the things that were found on the test. And Brother Don said it'd be sufficient enough to say it that way to you. And, of course, if you got any questions, he's willing to answer those after service. So just remember him, Ms. Carla, on that. And get to the bottom of this thing and get to moving forward. And, of course, everybody knows, I'm sure, my dad, he did go home to be with the Lord probably around 10:30, 11 o'clock last night. I was telling Miss Glenda just a moment ago, when I went to sleep kind of early, and always check my phone, make sure I'm missed calls, nothing like that, turn my phone over, went to sleep, and I mean, just woke up, missed a lady's call from hospice, missed my brother's phone call. I got a text from him, and I read right over the part where Dad passed away. He just said, "Can I have Wes Cobb's number?" And which I already made arrangements at Wes Cobb. And so, you know, waking up out of sleep and trying to make sense out of things. And so I texted him back. I said, "Did you say Dad passed away?" And he said, "Yeah." So the good staff there at Wes Cobb went out probably around, I don't know, 10:30 or 11 to Roberta and got Dad. And y'all know Wes Cobb. They're amazing people. Just the courtesy and the love is there, and we appreciate them. I'm going tomorrow at 1 o'clock to finalize everything, and then me and my brother, we're going to take Saturday at 3:30 to they're going to let us view, just a private family view. And then later on, we're going to have a little personal ceremony over at Zion View where Mom's buried. So praise the Lord that Dad is not suffering anymore. He says he's been saved. We asked him 100 times just because of some things, what he has said, but we made for sure. And, you know, and so I know that he's in heaven with Mom. You know, when I was over there a couple of weeks ago, and I knelt down into Dad's ear, and I told him something, and it seemed kind of awkward what I said and the reaction I got. And what was awkward was he was very much alert and aware, and he felt like he was getting better. But I felt like I should tell him when I knelt down in his ear and say, Dad, you know, you're not doing that well. I pray you'll get better. But if not, I'll see you in heaven and tell Mom that I love her. It was kind of awkward to say that because he was so alert and he wanted to get better. But I felt like I should have said that, and I did, and I'm glad I did now because he certainly is in heaven. But that's just my experience through this. Thank you for your prayers and your love. I really feel it. Everything's been working out well with the arrangement part. But so I just appreciate all of that and all your cares and text messages and phone calls and concerns. And so we got quite an eventful end of the week and start of next week with Miss Barbara Anderson and my dad. And both of them are at West Cobb. All right. Let's remember everybody else on the prayer list. Our children's home. Miss Glenda and her friend, the Jacksons, friend's mother Loretta, had passed away, and let's remember their family during this time. Let's see, Chuck Prestridge is on here from his aunt Sharon and her knee surgery recovery. His brother who had a heart procedure done. Miss Claudia and brother Harold. Leonard and Dolores, Connie Norton, Randy and Diane Ely, the Daleys, the Ashworths, also the Clantons, Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, let's remember them, the McCrickards, Joyce Manning, and James Tolan Brown and the Marines, Kevin Brook, Champion Christian College, remember them. Now open up the floor. Do you have a prayer request or an update or a praise or something? You can let it be known. I think I pretty much covered. Miss Glenda?
Our nephew, our great nephew, David's brother, grandson, has cancer. He's had several blood transfusions. They say this is very treatable, but he's really having a rough time. So, y'all, named Jordan Ladd. So, y'all want to pray for him. He's 25 years old.
What's the relation again?
It's David's brother's grandson.
Okay. Anybody else? Certainly remember this. Hassan? All right, let's remember Hassan. And when's that appointment, Hassan? Okay, we'll be praying for you. Mary and Sammy, got word she's not well. Homesick. Anyone else? Glenda?
Our friend Gerald Bennett that we've been requesting prayer for.
Yes.
He's much better. The hole, that little pinhole there where his intestine attached to his stomach closed up. And he's probably going to get to go home in the next couple of days.
It's always you. Sure. We sure will. Brother David? Somebody else have a hand up?
My friend Adam, I talked to his wife yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He was really sitting in a chair.
Vertical.
That's
awesome. That is awesome. Thank you for that praise report. Always good to hear praise reports. My grandpa's doing good. Called my grandma today, and he has a big heavy boot on his foot, his leg, but outside of that, he's doing good, just learning by wobbling right now how to walk. So, but he is at home. He's doing better. Like I said, he always has a great attitude toward things. Growing up, it's always been a positive attitude. Anybody else before we pray? All right, just remember, outreach on February the 10th. That's on a Saturday. And I've got a triple confirmation on Otis Nixon. Triple. I do not want to let everybody down. There's a lot of people looking forward, of our people looking forward to him coming and speaking. And the very next day, that Sunday, he will be here. And again, we'll take up a love offering on that. That will be sufficient, he said, you know, if we want to give something. And then Jubilee's right around the corner on 3-3, starting March the 3rd. And I'll go ahead and give it to you right quick before we pray. March the 3rd, Sunday, through March the 7th, Thursday. That Sunday, we've got Brother Snyder leading things off that morning. And then that night, we've got Sammy Burgess, Second Coming. We'll be singing the whole day on that Sunday. Monday, we have the Carl Partain family coming to sing, and Brother Carl is preaching. He pastors out in Alabama at, I want to say, Pine Ridge Baptist Church, something like that. His dad, which is called Big Carl, pastors somewhere around Cedartown, I think, at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. And so we're looking forward to that on that Monday. Brother Carl will be, and his family will be singing. He'll be preaching. Tuesday, David Smith will be with us again, and Pine Valley Baptist Church choir will be singing on Tuesday. Wednesday, I moved Brother Michael Soup to Wednesday, got him preaching, and got the Joy Air singing Wednesday, and to close out the meeting on Thursday. I planned that a year ago. And then on Thursday, to close out the meeting in preaching, is Mark Stroud. I don't know if anybody's heard of Brother Mark Stroud. He pastors Wahoo Baptist Church up in the Dahlonega area. And so he used to be a banker. He's a real tall guy. And he always has God's word with him. And so it's going to be a great time. And so just remember those things. All right. Well, anybody got anything else before we pray? Okay. All that would, meet us down front. We'll pray together. Pray where you're at, whatever you're comfortable with. Brother Jeff has a song, and we're going to get into part two of our lesson. Brother Jeff. Go ahead and make your way to 2 Timothy tonight, chapter number 3, verse 16. In just a few moments, we're going to read from there. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 16. And this will be another Bible drill night. Does anybody feel like reading along tonight? If I may give you a break tonight. Jeff raised his hand. Lee Ellen, Brother Don. Okay. Bible drill for us all. Last week we started a 3-part series on the doctrine of the Bible. And there are many doctrines in the Bible as they are of the Bible. But last week we wanted to look at 3 different words that would better help us or remind us about how we receive the Scriptures, how they were penned down, and how they can be illuminated to us. And I believe ultimately that will better help us in our reaching out to others. Just being able to combat what others think about the Bible, because you already know as well as I do, there's all kinds of beliefs out there. And so it's great that we know what we believe, but why, you know, is also just as important. So there's the word revelation when it comes to the doctrine of the Bible, and that is God speaking to man. God speaking to man. Then there's the word inspiration. That is man being inspired by what he received by God and wrote it down. And then there's the word illumination, and that is the ability to understand what has been written down by the hand of man through the voice of God. And so we actually started this backwards last week. As many times I do, I work my way from the back to the beginning. We looked at the word illumination on last Wednesday, and we looked at several things about that word illumination. We looked at the word illumination, which simply means that illumination is the work of the Holy Spirit in revealing the Word of God to the human heart. And so while we read the Bible sometimes, it may seem like a whole nother language. The blessing is, if we get into the book, we can experience illumination. We can know what the Scriptures say, and we can be able to interpret them. And we mentioned in that lesson that this doesn't just come getting into the Word. This comes by the Word getting into us, which is experienced through meditation. Meditation. You know, you have that steak dinner or whatever is your favorite dinner, and you sit back and you think, man, that was an amazing dinner. I got the taste of it in my mouth. And you just think about it. You're dwelling on it. And in like manner, the Scriptures is dwelling on the Scriptures, meditating. And so, and we can experience illumination through that. We looked at a lot of things. We're not going to reiterate all those things, but meditation, what we must do in order to experience illumination, of course, it's meditation, but we're to search the Scriptures. We're to study the Scriptures. We're to desire the Scriptures. Again, meditate, accept the Scriptures, memorize it, listen to it, sing it. We did some singing of the Scripture Sunday night, didn't we? I love that. I loved all the songs, very familiar songs. But that one, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." That has been in my heart. It has stayed there. I uploaded the song to my Facebook page and played it in the house. And so sing the Scriptures. You can experience illumination from the Word of God. And we, the list goes on and on. Again, we don't have time tonight to reiterate all of that. And we talked about, where I don't even think we got into the last point, and that is how we should study God's Word. Let me just mention that briefly. First of all, we should set aside a study time. You know as well as I do, many times it doesn't just work out that you can have a study time. There's so many things you have to do, I have to do. If we're not careful, it'll be the very last part of our day, and sometimes it won't even be part of our day. We've got to be intentional. Set aside a study time, whether it's a word, whether it's a verse, whatnot, just some good thought, some good scripture, meditate on it. Set aside some time. We already talked about this, but we must interpret a verse in light of the entire context of the passage. When it comes to studying God's Word, use repetition. Read a verse over and over and over until you understand it. Study with an open mind to learn. Never interpret a passage to say what we want it to say, but yet study it with an open mind. God, what are you trying to tell me? And I want to say something that sometimes, you know, at least it's been my experience since I've been saved. When I go to study the Bible, to read the Bible, I've heard a lot of preaching in my years of being saved. I've heard a lot of teaching. I've heard a lot of man's opinions. And when I go to particular verses, I can hear a certain preacher, I don't know if you're this way or not, or a teacher, preaching that verse or speaking on that verse. And so the challenge is to, okay, appreciate how they interpreted the verse and the message they preached or taught, but taking your eyes off of them and just say, God, speak to my heart straight from you through the Holy Spirit outside of how man has already interpreted. Sometimes that's a challenge to do that, but that is the thing to do, is to go into God's Word. And I'm learning each and every day, every time I get into God's Word, to study with an open mind outside of what everybody else has already said about it. What does God say about it? He can speak to my heart, because the Bible says that we can receive or experience illumination. And so study with an open mind. Use good Bible commentaries. Someone said one time, live above the line. A lot of Bibles have commentaries that are below the Scriptures. Well, those are good to help make sense out of the Scriptures. But, you know, live above the line. Take in the meat, spit out the bone kind of thing. Again, meditate upon God's Word. Look up meanings of Bible words. And the list goes on and on. And so that was last week on illumination. And that is part of the doctrine according to the Bible. And that is part of it, is illumination. How we can experience illumination. And that is what God has said in His Word. Tonight, as I said a moment ago, inspiration. And again, we're working our way backwards. And then we'll finish next Wednesday on Revelation. What is inspiration? Inspiration means this. God breathed. God breathed. It's a divine utterance of God. Inspiration is God speaking to man and giving him the very words to pin down. Harold Wilmington, that used to teach at Liberty University years and years ago, said this about the word inspiration. He said, man writes that which God wants written. And so, inspiration, God breathed. Now look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, or is God breathed, the breath of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so 2 Timothy 3:16 is a great verse. All Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, is God-breathed. A lot of people say, well, we're not in the Old Testament anymore. We're living in, it's the New Testament, church. Yeah, but all Scripture from Genesis to Revelation is all God-breathed and is profitable for many things. As the Bible says, for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. So all Scripture is inspired of God, which means every verse in both the Old and the New Testaments was spoken by God. Inspiration is the very exact word that came from the mouth of God. That is very interesting and amazing if you think about it. Every word came from the mouth of God we have in our Bible. It was God-breathed, wrote down for us to have. Closed canon, no new revelations. Every word, every jot, every tittle came from the mouth of God. That's amazing. That is amazing. And so tonight we see that inspiration is the very exact word that came from the mouth of God. All right, Brother Jeff Hodges, would you make your way to Matthew chapter number 4? Miss Sharon, do you have a hand up? Make your way to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Brother Jeff, Matthew 4, 4. 1 Thessalonians 2, 13, Miss Sharon. Brother Don, Jeremiah 30, verse number 1 and 2. Lee Ellen, chapter 36 of Jeremiah, verse 4. And then I believe that's all the hands we had up. And then I'll finish with Exodus 34, verse 27. So, Brother Jeff, when you're ready, Matthew 4, 4. You see that there? Of course, we know that we can't live on physical bread alone. It takes the words of God by which we're to live upon. And he said, every word out of the mouth of God, every word we're to live upon. That's Old Testament. That is New Testament. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Okay, Miss Sharon, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. About that. Not the word of men, but the word of God. What was that word? Effective? Effectual? Effectually. That word means active. God's word is actively at work. We take in God's word, it's working. Sometimes we say, and I've said it, I just don't feel like God is doing anything. Well, yes, God is doing a whole lot, and a lot of it is behind the scenes. A lot of it takes time. But God's word is actively working in us and through us. You speak God's word, it's at work immediately. All right, Brother Don, Jeremiah 30, verse 1 and 2. There you go, just further verses talking about it's all God's word. Again, he spoke to Jeremiah, write it in a book. So those are great verses to digest when it comes to inspiration. That is, again, man being moved of God, writing down the word of God. All right, Miss Lee Ellen. Go. Wrote it on a scroll. Yeah, that verse number 4 had a couple names in there. I struggled with those names a little bit earlier today, and I put it on you, so good job on that. Writing it in a scroll, Jeremiah being receiving the word there. And then I got Exodus 34, verse 27. The Bible says this, Exodus 34, verse 27. And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words. For after the tenor of these words or speech, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. There again. I mean, that's God speaking to man, inspiring him what to write. It's just amazing once you really take a good hard look at it when it comes to the Bible and how we got it and its power and how it's effective. All right. When man penned down Scripture, he did not write his own opinions or personal ideas. 2 Peter chapter number 1. I'll read this one. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse 20 and 21. knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time, here it is, by the will of man. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So that's a great verse. We see that there, that it was not man's opinions, not personal ideas, but it was of no, and it was of no private interpretation, but it was directly from God to the heart of men, to the hand of man on paper. And so just further verses supporting our lesson tonight. Often prophets saw things and wrote of things they didn't have clear understanding of. They were faithful to write what God told them, even though many times they didn't clearly understand the writing. 1 Peter chapter 1, Brother Jeff, if you would. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 10 through 12. 1 Peter 1, 10 through 12. Thank you, Brother Jeff. So we see there that often the prophets in the Old Testament, they saw things, they wrote the things down, but they didn't have a clear understanding of them. But we do. But we do. Let's see here. Of course, Peter, in these verses Brother Jeff just read, in these verses says that the Spirit of Christ was in the Old Testament. Prophets, they were directed by the Spirit of God. Also in the Old Testament, there were mysteries that the prophets, as I just said, didn't understand, but are revealed to us in the New Testament. All right, I want to cover something briefly, and that I think needs to be shared that I like. And a lot of this, if I hadn't told you by now, I went through in my seminary classes before I graduated. And when it comes to this, when it comes to inspiration, doctrine of the Bible, there's something covered in here that I thought was pretty good. Has anybody ever heard of mechanical dictation? Mechanical dictation. All right, so basically, let me ask you this. Were the men in the Bible robots? And I've already given the answer, but it's just good to think of it differently. Were the men in the Bible, were they robots? And were they forced to write out the Bible, whatever God put on their heart? Were they forced to write these things out? Were they robots? Did they have emotion in their writing? Did they have personality? Were they mechanical? Or were their writings dictated? Did God dictate what was written? But also, were their personalities and emotions present? And so, is mechanical dictation how the Bible was written? I'll give you the answer for that. You already know, but I'll give it to you. Dictation, yes. We can say that the Bible was written by dictation. God dictated what was written in the Bible. And God gave the very words to man, and man wrote the words as God gave them to him. Man wrote what God told him to write. So, it was dictated. Now, mechanical... No, it was not mechanical. Men were not just robots or machines that God used. God used, and thank God he did use men with different feelings or emotions. God used their feelings, emotions, their minds, their memories, their intellects, and personalities to write the word. You can see that in all the Bible characters there is, Old Testament and New Testament. I mean, you have Jeremiah. Isn't Jeremiah known as the weeping prophet? And so you have his style. And then we'll just contrast to Peter in the New Testament and everything Peter went through and how Peter pins down what he does. You know, you see his personality and his style, and you have Paul and you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all of them. And so there is no mechanical dictation, but there is dictation. God used our emotions and minds and memories, intellects, and all the rest. And I think that's a blessing because we can identify with all these personalities. And so the Bible was written by dictation in the sense that God told man what to write, but it was not mechanical dictation in the sense that men were robots. All right. Now, we know that God did speak through man. But as we're going to cover next Wednesday, when it comes to revelation, God's word coming to man, you know, God did use other means to speak his word in the Old Testament and New Testament, but God only chose man to write it down. God used animals. I mean, he used a donkey in the Old Testament. He used the rooster in the New Testament. God spoke through angels. He spoke through men. He spoke through different methods. But God chose men to speak to pin down his word. And so the Bible was written by over 40 different authors. What I want to do is, we're not going to go through all of these tonight, of course. It's an exhaustive list. But I do want to go through some of them. Let's see. Sharon, if you could go to Exodus chapter 4, verse 10 through 12. I believe we just read that, but if you'll read that one again. Brother Don, if you want to read 1 Samuel chapter number 8, verse 10. And Lee Ellen, 2 Samuel 23, 2 and 3. And we'll just see some of these ways that God has used man. Ms. Sharon, when you're ready, Exodus 4, verse 10 through 12. I didn't read those verses. Thank you for reading those verses. Now, we have Moses with this speech impediment or whatnot. All right. Do you think that can relate to people when it comes to speaking? Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I thank God that he uses or has used different people to pin down the book, different personalities, different emotions, feelings. And we have Moses in the state he was in. With his speech and all, yet God chose him. Of course, we know that Aaron was engrafted in to be his spokesman. But you know what? I don't find a whole lot where Aaron was doing a lot of talking after Moses said that. God enabled Moses to speak. But nonetheless, that was Moses. Okay. Brother Don, 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse number 10. Just Samuel being the mouthpiece of the Lord. We talked about Samuel this past Sunday morning, the young Samuel, and learned a little bit about his integrity there, learned a little bit about his call or his character, his call, but then his courage. Just another instrument, person that God used to write down the word. All right, 2 Samuel 23, 2 and 3. Miss Lee Ellen. Okay, of course, that's David speaking there, but God speaking through David. We won't turn there, but in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10, in Isaiah 6, we find Isaiah's call, and we know that God touched his lips so he could declare the word of God. That's Isaiah 6, verse 6 and 7. And so that's interesting as well. I want to make my way. You can follow along if you like. Jeremiah chapter 1. I've tried to condense these studies down so they're not that exhaustive, but they're still exhaustive and in great detail. Jeremiah 1, listen to this, verse 6 through 9. Jeremiah 1, verse 6 through 9. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child. No excuse, Jeremiah. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. And I love this verse. I mean, I've had to refer to this, my own self, my own mind. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Verse 9 says, Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. You see, whenever you're standing and speaking, you see faces. I'm seeing your faces. And you see all kinds of faces. But one thing that I've learned and I'm still learning is not to be afraid of anybody's face. And what I mean by that, by nature, I'm a timid kind of guy. I could, in school, like some other people say, I'll take an F before standing and giving a class speech or whatever. And so these verses were very important to me when I very first started preaching, and even today, that to know that I don't have to be afraid when I stand and preach or teach. God will put his words in my mouth, and that happens through study time and all, and whenever I stand. So don't be afraid of the faces. That's, you know, sometimes you go into churches and you preach, and, you know, there's the pastor there, and or a visiting evangelist, a singing group. I mean, you know, preaching at a revival or a jubilee, that's an intimidating thing. I mean, it would be for me. But the blessing is the same God that fills their heart and their mouths fills my heart and my mouth. I've seen God do it time and time again. I am dependent upon him. If he don't show up, if he don't use me, if he don't connect with your heart, then I'm done. I mean, I'm done. It flopped. Go home and try it again the next time. And that's happened before too, where I feel like it's flopped. You know, it feels like the words just couldn't come out right, did not connect. And God always uses those sermons too. But it's all about, as Jeremiah said, not being afraid of the faces and trusting in the word that God has put in your heart. What a blessing it is to know that Jeremiah was a writer. Okay, there's verses. You can look at these later if you'd like, but I mean, Ezekiel, we see in Ezekiel 3, chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, there's a lot to be said about him speaking and writing. Of course, Daniel wrote, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. What about Jonah and everything Jonah went through? And God still used him to write. Micah, Paul, John. And so as we see, God spoke through the Old Time or Old Testament prophets and the New Testament apostles and disciples. Again, 2 Peter 3:2. Let me give that to you once more. 2 Peter 3:2. Can't remember if we went over so many verses, can't remember if I read it or not. 2 Peter 3:2 says this, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. And so just being inspired, God breathed, God used these men. All right, let me mention this. Inspiration is complete. There are no new revelations of God's word. There are people out there who say, I've got a revelation. Now, some may mean that by saying, God spoke to my heart, you know, God has given me a message, but others say, no, there's a continuation in revelation, and God gave it to me. Woe to them. Woe to them. Don't listen to that, all right? As it would have, as we would have it, the canon of the Scripture is closed. There is no new revelations. Jude 3 says once and for all delivered. Speaking of the Word of God, let me just give it to you while we're here. Jude 3, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And so once means once and for all. Of course, once upon a time, once was given, but once and for all. This means that the Bible has been once and for all delivered. There are no more scriptures being given to add to the Bible. And of course, as I just said a moment ago, it doesn't mean that God no longer speaks to man. God will speak to us through His Word, through the Holy Spirit. Many refer to songs and sermons and books as being inspired, but no book or song is inspired in the same vein in which the Bible is inspired. We all agree with that. God may impress upon a person's heart to do something, but the Bible is the only book on earth that is divinely inspired of God. And so it's closed. No new revelations. And then lastly, and we'll be through tonight, man is not to add. We know some try to, but man is commanded not to add or take away from God's Word. And I'll give you these last two. The first one is in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 2. Listen to this. Deuteronomy 4, verse 2. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. So there you have it there, and then we'll finish up in Revelation 22. Revelation 22, verse 18. Listen to this. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. All right. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. There you have it. No more questions. Just don't add and don't take away and you'll be all right. In so many words. But a man is certainly not to add or take away. Inspiration is complete. It's settled. Again, we looked at that tonight in several places. Talked about God's Word, how He spoke to man, and man wrote it down. Now, next Wednesday night, we're going to look at, again, the last one, and that is the word revelation. It's God speaking to man, in various ways God spoke to man. Again, God used other things, angels, God used animals, God used all these things to speak to man, and we're just going to get into a little bit of that. And of course, God only used man, inspired man to write down His Word for us to be able to read and it be illuminated. All right, y'all ready for a test? Didn't think so. Me neither. All right. Well, thank you for giving me your ear tonight. And again, we'll finish up next Wednesday on Revelation. Just a short 3-week study on the doctrine of the Bible. Again, there's many more. That was just 3 that I chose. Lord, we thank You tonight for the ability to teach. Lord, teaching is altogether different than preaching. And Father, I just thank You that You called me to do both. Lord, I am a learner still and will forever be a learner of Your Word and how to deliver Your Word. But I'm thankful that when Your Word is in me, I ought not to fear any man. And I'm glad that You work the same way with all of Your people, those that are here tonight. Lord, they can understand Your Word. And You can use them, Lord, to transfer Your Word to the ears of others. And that they're not to be afraid. And Father, trying to launch out into this community outreach program, and I just pray, God, that when we do that, that we wouldn't fear what man shall say, but that we would respect man, but also, Lord, be ready to share your word. And we know that it is a divine word, an active word, a living word. And you've chosen us to share your word. And I'm thankful for that assurance tonight and that calling. We love you. We pray for all the prayer requests to be with every person, every life, every situation. And Lord, we'll just thank you and praise you in advance for what you're going to do. And we thank you for what you've already done. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. And amen. All right. Anything before we cut the camera off? Everybody be safe. It sounds like it's raining outside. And we'll see you on Sunday.